taking over the galaxy. Where cosmic criminals dance and play, terrorize the people every day. When the future looks bleak, you come out with smoke. Don't run and hide, don't give up hope. I'm the superhero's coming your way. I'll be the universe and save this day. A big super goblin in me, Quasar, a new fight machine. With awesome power, superhuman savior, it's in the whole world, last ditch ever to save your soul.
Let's get down to business to review some games. Are they fucking awesome or are they all lame? Shooters, beat 'em ups, and platformers. You can bet before you're through. All these games will make men out of you. And I'm going to stop.
Oh, that was lovely. Tears in my eyes.
tears of sadness. That was awful. That was awful, Colin.
My muscles just grew muscles from that.
Your muscles grew muscles?
Did you grow a third ball, too?
You know it.
Did you use a lawnmower 2.0 next? All right. It's Colin's theme pick today. It's Red Leaf RetroCast episode 95. What is your theme pick today, Colin?
Manly games.
Yeah, who would have guessed by making the Attila the Hun Disney... Aladdin. No, not Aladdin. Fuck. Mulan. Mulan, that song.
Yes.
Yeah. Manly games, yes. Games that are revered in manliness, I suppose.
In
right?
a certain sense.
In a sense of sorts. Yeah, perfect for Father's Day, where fathers exude many of the manliness.
We might have picked a Doom game for this one, but we already picked them for previous games.
Yeah, we got one that's close enough, I suppose.
It's pretty much Doom.
It's pretty much Doom. So how is everybody? Everybody been watching the E3 stuffs?
Oh, I watched the Nintendo Direct last night.
Joey?
I think I watched one thing on it, the beginning where they covered kind of everything. Well, they had a little bit of like here and there. It wasn't just like one person's. And I was like, that's good enough for me.
Right. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I wasn't too far off. I didn't watch like entire conference. Well, I take that back. I watched the entire Nintendo Direct, turned off Xbox. I was bored. Square Enix and Capcom really didn't bring home anything too interesting to me. So I guess we'll get into that in a little bit. Anybody been playing any games right quick before we get into E3?
Actually, no. I haven't played really anything. I've been trying to get the Ring Fit to work so I can play Apex with it and hate myself, but I'm running into some issues.
Wait. Are you telling me that your goal is to get Ring Fit to work to play Apex on the Nintendo Switch?
No, I'm not doing Nintendo Switch because that requires like $120 worth of hardware to make them compatible to work for that. There's a mod on the PC, and I'm just trying to get a Bluetooth dongle that actually will work with the Joy-Con and the mod. So it translates the Ring Fit into an Xbox controller. So it's like I'm playing with a controller while playing Apex, so I can hate myself when I play.
Wait a minute. We're talking about the same Ring Fit, right, for Nintendo?
Yep. So squatting's going to do some action. Running's going to make me go forward.
No.
Oh, man.
That. Okay. You definitely have my attention.
So I've been That's trying to get it to work.
It's going to require some video footage to see what the hell's happening.
If I can get it to work, I'll get some video. And I have a friend that says if I can get it to work, he's going to join me.
Oh my god. I will fly to Houston to experience this.
someone made some software that makes it work, so I just need to get a dongle to work with that software, and that's where I'm finding issues.
Well, get your dongle on, brah.
All my dongles bring up is different, and I don't really feel like changing the code. Which
I know,
I
might, Joey. But everyone's dongle is different. You don't need to rub it in.
I have multiple dongles now.
Now I have further questions. I played some Persona 3 this morning, about an hour and a half. Went to the movies a lot. Went to the movies with the dog. Dog got kicked out of the movie theater. So, just working on a lot of relationship goals in that game. That's about it. Nothing else to report on that end. Should I play the Persona 3 drop anyways, despite that?
Why did you go to the movies with the dog?
Because it was an option. When you're presented with the option to take a dog to the movie theater where the dog seemingly wants to go, I don't see how you would pass that up, Joey.
I'm really confused about that game.
Colin, should I play the Persona 3 drop anyways?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, I'll play it now.
It's a manly drop.
I really got to get cooking on that game because we got, let's see, it becomes 15 years old in about a month from now. And a little spoiler, it might be in that podcast episode a month from now.
Yeah,
I got to get cracking. I feel like I've been playing this game all year.
You kind of have.
Yeah, it's a slow process. Anyways. A lot of relationship goals going on there. Everyone's calling me to go to the movies and whatnot, and all I do want to do is play the MMO game and hit on the, I think, teacher. Pretty sure it's the teacher. Teachers and students, Joey. The relationship very common in life.
Apparently so.
Am I going to hate playing this game?
I mean, you are a partaker in anime. You might not hate it that much.
I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll find out, yeah. It's long as fuck. Don't get me wrong. I don't expect you to get very far.
It really is.
So. Colin, you've been busy. So, answers that, I guess, right?
Well, I played a little bit of Outrun on the Sega Ages on my Switch.
Oh, you got Sega... So you bought a bunch of Sega Ages games or just that one?
Just that one so far.
Okay. Yeah, I've been... I've been poking away at the Fantasy Zone Sega Ages. I adore that arcade port thing that they did. It's really, really fun.
Ah, yeah.
I seem to pick it up every now and again and just like play a level. It's a nice and relaxing time. Have you beat Outrun on the Sega Ages yet?
No, I was only able to play like half an hour because, like I said, prior to starting the recording, I've officially made my move to my new apartment. I've been busy on my days off just unpacking like crazy and reassembling certain things, like my computer desk, and setting up my TV with all my consoles in my main living room.
You got a game chair, didn't you?
Yeah.
Are you enjoying your new game chair? I think that's the most important question of all.
Yeah, so far it's pretty comfy, mm-hmm. Very adjustable. Mainly using it at my computer desk, and I've got my couch for my living room. It's a reclining couch. It's because every single section of it, you can make it recline.
I see.
It's really cool.
Joey, you're also a gamer chair guy. Been for many years.
I don't have a gamer chair.
You don't have a gamer chair anymore?
No.
Where'd you go, Joey? You're far away from your mic. What happened?
I'm right next to my mic. What happened to you? I've never had a gamer chair.
But I see you sit in chairs all the time.
I sit in chairs. I have nice computer chairs, but I don't have gamer chairs.
Oh, is that where we're going, Mr. Specific? Okay. All right. We'll play that game. Make me look foolish on the podcast. Some friend you are.
I'm sitting in an ergonomic chair.
Ergonomic computer chair.
Yeah, gotta keep the back good.
Keep the back good. Not even using nice English.
I use nice English when bad English works fine.
Oh, my head.
Oh, boy.
It hurts. All right,
get
E3. E3. I kept up with the news. E3 actually just kind of came out of nowhere with me this year because it was just, I got some messages from some fans of the podcast, a couple friends, and they're just like, hey, what'd you think of, like, this conference? You know, what are you talking about? Well, E3 was today. Oh. So it was. Okay. I guess I gotta get in on it.
Basically me, too.
Well, so here's the thing. And a lot of the consensus I've seen from online and is a lot of people are disappointed with E3. But as soon as you think about it for 2 seconds, you go, well, okay. The COVID situation was all of last year, and we're just getting out of it, in this country at least. Like, Colin, you Canada's finally starting to kind of come around?
A lot of us have our first vaccine doses. And
right, but you got to wait like 3 months before the second one sometimes.
Well, now it seems like they're actually expediting the process.
Right.
It's because, yeah, I was supposed to get mine in September, but it sounds like I can sign up and put myself on a wait list for sooner, like in July. So that should be, well, hope for the best, I suppose.
Yeah. So when all of these companies and whatnot are preparing for E3, if they're even participating in it, and trying to update on you on their games that are coming out or in development, a lot of it's just been so delayed and not streamlined in any way because people just haven't been able to work in the same capacity that they used to. So it doesn't shock me that there just simply aren't any heavy new developments, heavy new games coming out. And fuck, PlayStation, I expect they're going to have like a state of play of some kind, but they're just not at E3 again at all since I believe they haven't been there since 2019 anyways. So without Sony as a presence there, E3 is just kind of missing a big chunk. And with the PS5 and the Xbox newest console, people are still having issues getting them because of the not super compressor, fuck. There's certain chips and whatnot that are required to make these consoles are just they're in low supply. So
it's because of a silicon shortage.
Yes. Thank you, Joey. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. So yeah, it's more than just one thing. So it doesn't shock me that E3 just didn't have a lot of buzz as compared to years past. And without fans there, it really takes away a lot of the interest in it. It's why you even have some companies that just don't participate in it because they just don't see the benefit in not being able to interact with fans. And in that aspect, I agree. But as for the games that were revealed, Nintendo, I thought, knocked it out of the park with a lot of what they were advertising, what they're getting ready for. They came out with a couple new game releases. Nintendo seems to know exactly what they're doing and really have a timeline on a lot of these games. We got Metroid Dread was announced October 8th. They called it, I believe, Metroid 5 to be specific, because Metroid 4 kind of had the start over development. But it's a awesome looking 2D Metroid game. Looks like a true sequel to Super Metroid in a lot of ways. I'm 100% in on this one. I can't wait for it. Did you guys see this?
Yeah, I saw it.
No.
Well, it looks really cool. It seems like they're implementing some of the mechanics from Samus Returns. I haven't played that yet, but I've seen some of the footage, and it looks like Dread is incorporating some of it. And I think the whole Metroid 5 thing didn't make sense to me at first, but then I thought to myself, there's the original Metroid, Metroid 2, Super Metroid, Metroid Fusion, and now this. So as mainline Metroid games go, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. But
yeah, I'm interested in seeing where it goes with all the robotic enemies and possible robotic allies if a certain part of the trailer is to be believed.
Yeah, it looks really neat. It brings something fresh and new to the table that we haven't seen in many years. I'm absolutely behind this project, And I'll be looking forward to it on October 8th. And since I have a Nintendo Switch, I could fucking play this game. Hooray.
Hell yeah.
Shin Megami Tensei 5 got a release date November 12th as the SMT and Persona mark that I am in 2021, it seems. Might wait on that game after it comes out. I might be totally burned out from these games by then. Who knows? I am looking forward to it nonetheless. It is a new SMT game. Let's see here. I wrote down Monster Hunter Stories comes out July 9th. They kind of did a little thing on that. I'm still not completely sold on a story-based Monster Hunter game, but we'll see. You got anything else from Nintendo, Colin?
I was kind of interested in that Life is Strange bit they had.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a new character introduced into the continuity of the original game. And I'd be interested to see where that goes. And the remaster of Advance Wars 1 and 2 looks really cool.
Yeah, we played one of those games on the podcast at least.
Yeah. And I think I'd be interested in getting the Danganronpa Decadence thing.
Yeah, it's fucking 5 games in one. It looks wild.
Well, 4, but yeah.
It was 5. But it was, let's see, 1. Yeah, isn't it 5? It's you got 1 through 3, and then you have like a special, you have whatever that fourth one was, and then you have a super like combined game new thing that's coming. Am I off on this? On how many that there are?
Yeah. There are 5. Sounds like there are 5 games total, but I didn't see Ultra Despair Girls in there anywhere.
I thought it was. I'm gonna look this up. Ultra Danganronpa Decadence. Let's see here.
Yeah, I like that they used the word decadence because it's the 10-year anniversary, and that's a decade decadence.
Okay, so we got Trigger Happy Havoc, Goodbye Despair, Killing Harmony. Oh, okay, that one's not in there, but we get Ultimate Summer Camp.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's 4. That's a lot, and I don't have, V3 or Danganronpa S Ultimate Summer Camp of Despair.
Yeah, I think that's a new addition. It took a mini game from V3 and then expanded it into a standalone thing.
Yeah, might end up getting that then.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get it too.
Because at the very least, I'll have 2 new games in a 4-pack.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in the Legend of Zelda Game & Watch thing they advertised. Just got the first 3 games in there. You got the original Zelda 2 and Link's Awakening in its original Game Boy glory.
Yeah, it's a neat little accessory thing that you can get.
Yeah, just be fun to have if nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm definitely interested in the Breath of the Wild sequel. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot of skybound islands to navigate and glide between.
Yeah, that's an easy one to get excited about. I really liked Breath of the Wild. A lot of people did.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a Super Mario Party game. It's kind of a legacy game where it has 100 mini games, 4 old boards or 5 boards or whatever they said. And it's going to have online play at launch. So that should be nice. The Mario Golf game seems to get it got a little buzz, which is more than I thought. But people like their Mario Golf. So Nintendo, again, thought it knocked it out of the park. Really know their audience. Some new IPs coming out. IPs you haven't seen in decades. So that's good. And then as for Sony, I know they came out and showed some more over Kena: Bridge of Spirits, which is a game I've heavily anticipated that comes out August 24th. So that has a release date. They went over some. Didn't see any more over Forbidden West, although there was kind of a state of play on that not too long ago. Let's see. I didn't really watch a lot of Xbox because I have no interest in the console or the games, but there was Outer Worlds 2, some Game Pass stuff that they're touting, and you know, Halo, which got negative buzz based on what I was able to gather from it.
Yeah, that's because multiplayer is free, and you have to pay for a campaign. But it looks like they're doing battle passes that don't have expire, so you'll be able to slowly get everything.
You were going to say something, Colin?
I was just expressing disbelief that you have to pay for the campaign, but not multiplayer. It's just completely backwards.
Well, yeah, you think multiplayer would be the thing to tout the money for, but that kind of hints to me that there's going to be a lot of microtransactions.
Yeah, there'll be stuff. I mean, yeah, there'll be battle passes and things. It's kind of like them doing, like everyone does a free battle royale with their games.
Right.
They're trying to mimic that with just multiplayer.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a fan, but I'm not the biggest Halo fan in the first place, so I guess it's mute on me. Any other news? Square Enix. Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. It's like a Dark Souls Final Fantasy game, it looks like. That looks pretty sick.
No. I haven't heard about that one. You should check it out.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat. The DLC of Final Fantasy VII Remake came out. Heard good things about that. The story progressed, so that's cool. And then, what was it? Not Elden Ring. There was a game Square teased. It reminded me of like a Viking type. I'm probably way off on that. Anyways,
Guardians of Midgard or something.
No,
there's a
no,
Tribes
no.
of Midgard, but it's not Square.
No, not that one. Yeah,
I'm excited about Tribes. That one looks good to me.
Yeah, I can't remember the title, but I thought when they showed the original trailer and teaser of it that it was going to be this cool adventure type game from Square. And as soon as they showed gameplay footage at E3, it's a four player collect 'em up nonsense like play online thing. So it's like, well, you lost me. I'm out. Yeah, they're like, but you can play solo. And like, yeah, I know how this game works. I'm not falling for that. Yeah. Let's see. I think that's all.
I'm excited about Tribes of Midgar. That comes out July. I'm probably going to get it.
Cool.
It's like Valheim meets Diablo.
Ooh, okay.
So it's a survivor game with classes, and looks like you try to get better gear and fight stronger enemies, so it looks fun to me.
Yeah, it could be neat.
You play up to 10 people.
Up to 10, wow. Okay. All right. I think that does it for E3, eh?
Yeah,
not much else there. Okay. I hope someday I'll be able to get a PS5. I've had this pile of money just saved to the side for like 2 years now, it feels, or two and a half at this point. Just like, all I need to do is see one, and it's mine. That's it. That's all it'll take. Just waiting. So sad. So sad, guys. Despair.
Yeah, they could easily solve the problem by making it store only purchase, like brick and mortar store.
But yeah,
that'll never happen.
No. Okay, so looking for manly drops, and I have the Mortal Kombat Fatality. Is that good enough for you guys? Maybe. Yeah, sure, why not?
Sure, good enough.
Fatality, guys. Colin, take it away.
Yep, so we're covering manly games. Games that are pure testosterone fuel, and you play as some jacked, muscled up dude, kicking ass, taking names, blowing shit up. All that good shit. It's not much more to say about that. It's just the most masculine games we can find that we haven't already played.
All right, Colin, so then I'll ask you this. You picked two games because it's your theme. Joey, you picked one. I picked one. How did you, without revealing the title of the game, come to the conclusion that your game qualified as manly?
I went off of cover art.
Okay. All right. It's good. Good start.
I went off the fact that for one of my games, there's lots of guns and explosives involved, and there's a lot of shooting and blowing shit up to be done. Plus, the main character is super jacked. And in the second one, one of the main characters you play as is a former pro wrestler turned mayor who's still muscled up to hell and can kick all kinds of ass with wrestling moves and punching the shit out of guys. That's really all it needs.
Let's see. Kay picked his ghost picked as we have it in every cast. He picked his because it's a lot of two people fighting against each other to the death in a king tournament. Kind of speaks for itself. My pick is the main character is kind of like Zap Brannigan from Futurama.
And a bit of Captain Quark, too.
He's got Captain Quark going on. He's got the chiseled chin. He fires guns. He's saving the world. Come on. How could you not get that chiseled chin up into your manliness? All right. Okay, first game, Colin. Take it away.
All right. First game is Serious Sam for the PC and Xbox. Developed by Crow Team and published by Gathering of Developers. Released on the that's all Wikipedia gave me. It was released on the PC and Xbox on March 21st, 2001, worldwide. Plot's fairly simple. An evil alien overlord called Mental is trying to take over the Earth. Mental, that's a creative name.
Oh, okay. And here, I'm going to interrupt you here. So you're Gathering of Developers. By the way, it spells God.
Yes.
Yeah. They're your Jazz Jackrabbit people.
Really?
Yep. They help publish it.
Well, hot damn.
Yeah, Railroad Tycoon. They publish Max Payne on the PC.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Railroad Tycoon, some Max Payne, some Mafia, and Tropico. So yeah, they have a thing.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So that's that publisher. Crow Team, did they only make Serious Sam games?
Basically, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now. The Talos Principle, they made that. But mostly it's just Serious Sam.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Yeah, back to the plot. An evil alien overlord called Mental is trying to take over Earth, and to stop him, our hero, Sam Serious Stone, is sent back in time to a previous point where Mental is at war with another ancient race and hopefully take him out to change history. Because that always goes well.
His name is Sam Stone.
Yeah.
I love
it. And his nickname is Serious.
Yes, that is definitely manly. I agree with. Is this qualify to you, Joey, as manly? Joey.
You there, Joey?
Did Joey disappear? Is he disgusted? I'm back, sorry. Okay, there he is.
What's up?
does the name Sam Serious Stone qualify as manly to you?
Yeah, he's serious and he's Sam.
That's the you use Sam, not Stone. Sam is the one you emphasized.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a stoner with Stone, so.
All right, you got me there.
But he's serious, and that's manly.
Okay. Like I said earlier, I picked this one because the whole point is to grab a bunch of big guns and blast aliens en masse, not unlike Doom. What could be more manly than that? And yeah, it's a very arcadey type of game. You just go around various environments, grabbing guns, killing enemies every which way, and occasionally collecting MacGuffins for the main objective of the stage. I was only able to play like maybe an hour of this last night, because, like I said before, very pressed for time with my move, but I was able to set up my retro TV setup enough to play it, as well as the other game, some of the other games. And yeah, I like this game overall. I mean, the gameplay itself is fun, if a little easy. It basically just takes the basics of first-person shooters and distills them into one formula. The music's okay, a bit repetitive, but fits decently well with the action. The humor's a little dated and not exactly clever either. Just feels like old hat at this point. And one thing I really didn't like is that the chainsaw didn't sound very chainsaw-like.
No, it did not.
Doesn't have the kind of power to it that Doom's chainsaw does.
Sounded like a humming blender.
Yeah, pretty much. And there were a few frame rate hiccups here and there, but I don't know if that was the game itself or some of the minor scuffs on the disc I ordered.
I don't know. I got a lot of slowdown myself.
Okay, it's not just me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I didn't, but I played on Steam.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, maybe the Steam version is better. That's possible.
Well, I got the classic version. I didn't want to get the HD and have an unfair advantage.
All right. I will rip this game apart immediately. So then you guys could probably praise it. So as soon as I boost it up, for some reason I had this image in my head of what Serious Sam the games are, where they were closer to a first-person Contra. I don't know why. Maybe even a Halo. Yeah. But instead I got Doom. And I think if you're a listener of the podcast, you kind of know how I feel about that style of game, where it's just first-person, the flat sprites across the screen, and you just randomly kind of go around and shoot shit. And I could never, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the center of the screen and you just fire, I guess, circle sprites at the sprites. And Serious Sam is exactly a Doom clone with supposed more comedy. And I think, as you said, Colin, the comedy just doesn't age quite well. At least it's not funny to me. And the gameplay just isn't for me. So within 5 minutes I go, I'm not going to like this. I am not the right person to be playing this, because I know I won't give it a fair chance, and I will negate on my pass fail, because I just can't make an unbiased. Actually, no, I will fail it because I don't like games like this. I take that all back. I will grow a set. I will grow a manly set of balls and say, I hate these games. They're not for me.
I fail games I don't like. So go ahead and do it.
Yeah, there you go. I don't like these games. I hate them. Yeah, fail.
Well, I'm the exact opposite. I love this game. I had to turn the sensitivity way down, but it was fun. I mean, the gameplay can get a little stale. It's just running backwards and shooting, but I still had a lot of fun with it. It's kind of like Doom, if Doom was created after ID finished Quake. Because it has a lot of Quake motions and whatnot to it, but I don't know. I thought it was fun running around killing things, a little bit of humor here and there. The screaming guys kept running at you trying to blow up. It was fun. It was a nice, fun shoot 'em up type game.
Yeah, I passed this game too.
And it had random eagle noises. How can you hate this game?
Okay.
Well, I guess that's all there is to say about that.
Well, yeah. It takes about 15 hours to beat. It's long as fuck. And the game goes for like $9 on Xbox.
On Steam, you can get the first three for $6.
Well, that sounds like a better price.
For the classic, I think it's called. Okay. Yeah, Serious Sam Classic. I have First Encounter, Second Encounter, and Revolution for $6.
Isn't the First Encounter just a remake of the first game, though?
I don't know.
Or like a remaster? No,
I think the First Encounter was how it was originally released, and then there was the Second Encounter after that. Came in two parts at first, and then later on it was combined into one on Xbox, at least, and then I'm not sure about the other ports.
Yeah, Wikipedia says Second Encounter is a sequel that was released 11 months later. So, I don't know. There's a lot of Serious Sam games. It's hard to tell which is which.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Your next game, Colin?
Alrighty. It is Final Fight 2 on the Super Nintendo. Developed and published by Capcom. Released on the Super Nintendo in Japan on May 22nd, 1993, in North America on August 15th, 1993, and in the EU on December 1993. And like I said before, pick this game because one of the characters you play as is a former wrestler with all the muscle from that job. And what's more manly than a muscle-bound mayor with the biggest, squarest of jaws kicking ass against a gang threatening his town? And of course, the main plot is that the character Guy, who was in the arcade version of the previous game, his fiance and her father have been kidnapped, and then his fiance's sister, plus one of Mayor Hagger's previous, I kind of forget his backstory, but all three of them go out and decide to go out and get them back. Going all over the world through places like Hong Kong and Paris to stop the gang Mad Gear, who are the main villains of the last game, but have since reformed. And I actually think Hiro Mashima, the author of Fairy Tail and Rave Master, and most recently Eden Zero, was a fan of Final Fight because I recall a gang called Mad Gear being in Rave Master, as well as a main character of that same manga being named after the main villain of this game, that is Let. So I thought that was an interesting little factoid.
Alrighty.
For those of you familiar with Hiro Mashima. And the action of this game is pretty much the same as the previous game. You got two button controls, one to jump, the other to just punch or kick, whichever, and if you hit them both at once, you can do a desperation move, which is like a spin kick or spin punch in Mayor Hagger's case. Takes a bit of health off, but you can clear a bunch of enemies that have got you stun locked. Not much more to say about this one that we haven't already said for Final Fight 1. Going around kicking ass until you get to the end, rescue the damsel. That's pretty much it. I didn't have as much time as I would have liked to have played this one either, because I could only play like maybe 45 minutes at one point during the night. I think it was Friday night, actually. Mm-hmm. But I was so fucking tired out from my job.
Wow, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that this game goes for about $60. It's very expensive. In Japan, it's only like $17. I'm not really sure why, other than the Final Fight series is at least well known, especially in the retro community. The game's about 2 hours. And let me tell you something. This game is heavily censored.
Ah, yeah?
Yes. So, in the Japanese version, there's a lot of okay. So for the first game, if you remember, there was a lot of women. They were dressed scantily, much like one of the main characters in what's her name, Maki. I think that's her name.
Yeah.
Look at me remembering names. So there's a lot of enemies that are kind of like that. It's you kind of switch between them anyways. But yeah, there's women enemies. There's males. The males are jacked. The women are hot. And also kickassery. Some enemies have like butcher knives they're holding. Most notably the first boss. They got other knives and swords and shit. In the American version, all the women are gender bent to men. And all the knives and stuff are just straight up taken out of the game.
Of course.
Yeah, so a lot of the appeal and aesthetics to the game are just so massively changed that it just feels like kind of a by the book beat 'em up. What they did add was at least co-op. So if you're into Final Fight, and because the first one was not, if you're into Final Fight and you want a co-op experience, this is kind of for you. I'm not sure. I've never played Final Fight 3, so I'm not sure. At least I don't think we played Final Fight 3.
No, we only played the first one so far.
Let's see. Final Fight. Yeah, we've only played the first one. So, right away, maybe Final Fight 3 might be worth visiting then at some point. But anyways. Yeah, co-op in this one, lots of things changed. Most notably, I don't know if you guys caught this, because Joey, were you around when we played the first Final Fight?
Maybe? I don't know. I don't think so.
Who no, knows? He wasn't.
He wasn't? Okay.
It was just the two of us that time.
Right. In Final Fight 2, there can only be three enemies on the screen at a time. So that kind of creates a much easier experience, and it also creates a less, I don't want to say challenging or stressful, but it definitely, I felt, took a lot away from the game that the first Final Fight had. Because where the game got super difficult, and Colin, you might remember myself saying this, was it wasn't so much that you get overwhelmed, because there's a strategy in beat-em-ups where it's crowd control. It was just the fact that the enemies were a little bit too strong. You couldn't really take them out like quick enough to handle that. In this one, you can take them out quick enough, and there's only three allowed on the screen at a time. So it's very easy. And the kicker was my complaint with the first one was where the bosses were like exceptionally difficult.
especially the second one.
Yeah, especially the second one. That was just like quarter sucker hard. In this game, everything is just super easy because the bosses don't have like weapons and all their range is taken away. So they're easy to dodge. Their patterns are very just bare bones. There's nothing to it. You can literally just go up and grab them and suplex them or whatever character you want to use. If you're the guy, not Hagger, but whatever his name was, let's call him Chris, I guess.
Was it Carlos?
Carlos, yes. I had the C right. Yeah, Carlos, he's got a sword, so he's got like super range, while Maki kind of has short range. So I guess if you're Maki, the game gets a little harder. But other than that, I just thought this was inferior to the first one in every single way, once you take out the co-op option. So I am failing Final Fight 2, surprisingly enough. I think it was just unacceptable. You hated it too? Yes. Okay. I'm not alone.
I have two big reasons why I hated it. One, punch, 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 wait. That's all you really can do for most of the enemies. And then there was one enemy named Johnny, and fucking Johnny kept running off screen and didn't want to come fight me. So I was stuck there for a little bit. Every time I stepped forward, he would run away. So I was literally stuck at a point for like 20 seconds because he wouldn't come to me where I could hit him. So fuck Johnny, and I hate this game.
Fuck Johnny. You're always waiting on Johnny. Johnny won't come for you. I understand, Joey. You get very frustrated when Johnny won't come for you.
Bouncing a wow wow.
Not going to give me that one, Joey. Come on.
No. Ain't giving it to you.
Ah! Colin, do you fail it? Do you feel our despair over here with Final Fight 2?
I'm going to give it a soft pass.
Pussy.
I don't know. I didn't have as much time with it as you guys. So maybe if I had, I might have failed it. But with what I did experience, I didn't hate it.
Mm. Okay. All right. So two fails and a soft pass. Okay. Joey, it's your pick.
My pick. My pick is Manly. Vice Project Doom. I mean, listen to that name. It's glorious. Look at the artwork, though. It's a man, ripped shirt, gun in the air, babe on his arm. You got some steel in the background with electricity. How can this not be manly?
I love that. That's how all it took. Of course, when you just showed me the box art, you go, does this qualify? I go, yes. No, without question. I don't even care what the game is anymore.
Exactly. Too bad the game sucks. At least I thought it sucked. I was a little surprised that the first level was you're in a car shooting things.
Dude, it's Spy Hunter.
Yeah. It was weird. I was like, wait, is this what the game's going to be the whole time? I was confused.
But yeah,
I beat it, and it was platform. Like, I don't know. I think the platforming on this is bad, the jumping and the clipping. But I did like that you can switch between your weapons, though it took me a while to figure out that that's what was going on. So having the grenade and the gun is pretty cool. But then you have like a sword, I think it is.
Yes.
Or is it a baton? I don't know.
So it's kind of like a power sword, much like from the game Power Blade. That I think it's Power Blade. Was that the name of the game, Colin? Power Blade?
I don't know.
Maybe. If that's the name of the game, that's what I'm thinking of, where the platforming with a sword is very much like that. Anyways.
It was kind of giving me flashbacks to the Batman game on the NES.
But maybe okay, yeah, I see.
Maybe it's just because it's like a lot of other games at the time. Who knows?
I did like that the levels were different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the car level, and then the second level was like a platformer, but then the third level was slightly different way of platforming. But, I mean, the game, you're playing as a detective, but you're not doing detective things. You're just going around killing shit. So,
oh, no. You're doing detective things. Go tell me where to go next. I will murder people.
Just and I Max Payne.
I got to the second boss, at least I think he was a boss, the guy that jumps around and throws shit, and I could not beat him. He was way too hard. You have to be like at a certain spot so you wouldn't get hit by the jump, but also you would not get, you would go underneath his throw, his bombs or whatever. But if you're anywhere else, it seemed like his attacks were unavoidable.
Are you talking about the robot guy that would hang on walls, or are you talking about the spinning baton dude?
Spinning baton dude.
Okay. So spinning baton dude is annoying. He's one of the hardest ones in the entire game. It gets easier after that.
I couldn't get past him. So yeah. I got past the girder throwing dude. He was easy, but the baton spinning, bomb throwing, fast movement dude, I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, baton dude is the hardest one in the game. Once you get past him, much of the game is kind of a breeze from there. I actually thought this game was pretty easy, but that made it enjoyable.
It was easy up until that boss, and I couldn't beat him, so that's why I thought it was hard.
So this game is available on the Nintendo Switch little NES thing, that thingamajig that they got going on. So I played on that. So save states, brah.
Yeah, I also had to mention the developer and publisher. It was ICOM that developed it and published by Sammy Corporation. Came out in 91.
There you go. Pretty cool. Platform driving shooter are the genres. Joey?
More driving levels?
Joey,
or is it just
what?
That one level? What?
Oh, there's a couple more driving levels. They vary. I love this game. Like, a lot. I adored it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you got the cutscenes like it's out of Ninja Gaiden to tell you the story in a fun and interesting way. You have the game not becoming monotonous because it keeps switching between a few different game modes, like the Spy Hunter driving thing to the wacky little Bayou Billy first-person reticle stages. There's a couple of those, but it's done way better in this game, so it's not cheap. The platforming I kind of enjoyed as well. The clipping when you get hit and your character just disappears for like a second or two, that was one of the biggest things to overcome. But as long as you don't overreact to it, you'll be fine. So that took a little bit of time just to get used to. Because they just stick so much shit on the screen with all the background art and a lot of the enemies coming on screen all the time, much like a Ninja Gaiden game, because you see some clipping and phasing in and out. So as a project or as a product of 91, I was more on the forgiving side of things like that. And it kind of gave it a little nostalgic boost in a lot of ways to games of those times where... I think I liked it the most was in some of those later platform levels where they like there's a little train sequence where the lights are going in and out and you're moving on top of a train and you that's where it really gets you to try to switch between your missiles and grenades that you throw because once you figure out the gimmick to an area of which of the three weapons to choose between the sword, the missile, and the I guess maybe it's just a gun, but sword, missile, and grenade, the game gets a lot easier once you figure out which particular weapon is good for that particular area. That's its whole appeal there. As for the plot is really funny. So, our main dude here, what's his fucking name? It's like... God. What was his name, Colin? What was his name, Joey? Hart?
Yeah, it's like Detective Hart.
Detective Hart, yeah. So Detective Hart has his like two women assistants. One's like an actual detective and another is kind of a lab tech. And of course they like both get kidnapped and die. Oh yeah. And there's great things. They're like, "Oh, I love you, Hart." And he's like, "No." it's very that. Basically it's all trying to find what this weird ass organization is doing with a drug that's like an alien goo and it turns people into not quite the fucking xenomorphs but more like Skeletor if he was a xenomorph. So that's really what the thing was. Yeah, I really like this game. I thought everything felt fresh. It kept things in between. It's not very long. Like, you could beat this game in under an hour. Like, it's really cool. What isn't cool is the game runs for, like, $60 these days. That's definitely too much. It's not worth that much. But since it's available on the Nintendo Switch little Switch Online shop, you can just easily turn it on and have some fun. Guys, I love this. I pass it with flying colors. Wish the music was a little bit better in parts, but I don't have much to complain about. This game is manly as fuck. I loved it. It's great.
I was going to fail it, but now that I know that the second boss is the hardest, I thought it just got harder after that.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not.
I'm going to soft pass it.
Yeah, you just gotta find... I think you were using the wrong weapon. And you just really have to. How I beat Spinny Baton Guy was just ream him with missiles, and then hopefully I jump time it right, and you'll just win a war of attrition. It's kind of the best way to beat him. At least that's how I found it out.
Fair enough. I just got hit like three times, and I'm dead. I guess if I get good, the game gets better.
I mean, the game never really gets cheap difficult. There's certain platforming areas that require a little bit of patience comparative to kind of the run and gun aspect that a lot of the beginning stages are. But mostly it's just a platformer that has stages in betweens, and it's not gonna break ground on fresh and new ideas. So in a lot of ways, like it fails in innovation, but it does a lot of things super well, I feel. And nothing feels too cheap. Everything feels fun, which is really important. And all the platforming levels are super different from each other. There's a lot to love here. I might be putting this in my little Dynamite Heady region for Sega. This is my super secret awesome NES game.
Nice.
Colin, you didn't get a lot of time with this, I take it?
Once again, yes, although I was able to get to the second boss, and using my save states, I was ultimately able to beat him. I don't think he's as hard as you guys make it out. I mean, if you just duck down when you're close to him when he's firing off those three fireballs, it's fairly easy to avoid. But yeah, I lean more towards JD's opinion on it. I mean, I liked it. It was fun to play. One problem I had was that the UI on the bottom of the screen is a bit hard to read, especially when you're mm-hmm. in the thick of a swarm of enemies. Mm-hmm. But I like the backgrounds. They're very detailed and pleasing to look at, especially the city stage at night. There's some nice parallaxing going on in the background there. And like I said, the gameplay and level layouts reminded me a lot of Batman on the NES. So, yeah, I give this one a pass, too.
All right. Joey, you care to do K's pick?
Sure, why not? Tekken 4. Came out, developed by Namco, of course, and published by Namco.
Of course.
came out 2002, but it was on the arcade 2001. I mean, it's Tekken. But apparently, this one's not... It was kind of controversial in the community, because they changed everything when this game came out.
Yeah.
But as me not really a fan of fighting, I enjoyed this game. Like, it felt fine to me. It just felt like another fighter. So I get why people would be pissed off, but I'm not a fan of the series, so I enjoyed it. I like doing the Tekken 4 stuff. That was fun. So I pretty much played it not like a Tekken game.
I was informed kind of why Tekken 4. I kind of went into the little diving a little deep into why Tekken 4 was met with kind of backlash, because my understanding was it kind of came down to Tekken Tag Tournament was super polished and good for those graphics and that engine. So then when Tekken 4 came out, they used a completely new graphic system, new engine, heavy lighting, dynamic physics, which were really important. So it creates a lot of fluidity into a lot of the character movements. And because there was also smoother surfaces, essentially, it was a next-gen game. And because it became so next-gen that... the same fighting styles that were developed from say Tekken Tag just could not be taken over into Tekken 4. In my opinion, I think that makes Tekken 4 super different, interesting compared to Tekken Tag. Cause I was trying to remember why I liked both these games as a kid. And this all kind of made me realize why I liked playing both games over time rather than just saying, oh, the next one came out, put the other one in the dust part of the shelf and forget about it. This one felt like it had more reason to play the story and everything. There was a bunch of new characters. The Brazilian chick Christy. Whoa. She's quite something. Whole game was like felt like it was based around her. what'd you guys think of Hayachi in a man thong? That was a big change.
My eyes. I need bleach.
He's a big bad dude, and yeah, you get to see the crack of his ass like the whole game.
I just played as King.
You just played as King?
King 2 or whatever the hell he's called.
Yeah. Tiger Mask. Let's see, some other new characters. There was Steve Fox. He's a boxer guy. Combat. No, yeah, he's a...
People are upset about him because he replaced someone that they liked.
Mokujin. I think it was Mokujin, yeah. Let's see, Craig Marduk. Miharu Hirano, the friend of Ling Xiao. Ooh, and Violet. So, whatever. New characters. Christie's the big one. She has a, yeah, she probably has the most interesting story. I played her, like, the whole time, basically. Just because Capoeira style is super goofy and fun in these games. I really liked the improvement on the Tekken Force mode, the beat-em-up, where it's kind of like older over-the-shoulder isometric, and you can actually go like full turning 360 through it all. Yeah. So that was super fun.
I really like that mode. I played that one the most.
Ooh. That's funny. Playing a 1v1 type.
Yeah. I played a fighter, and I played it like a beat-em-up. I thought it was better beat-em-up than Final Fight 2.
I agree, actually. I did like the beat-em-up in Tekken 4 more than Final Fight 2. There was a tag mode in this game, but you can't switch between characters in battle. So, you know, take it or leave it. I guess that's why Tekken Tag Tournament still exists. Just have them both and you're totally set. What'd you think of the new kind of fluid fighting system this game has? Because that's kind of the mechanic that stood out to me the most. It just felt so different. Do you guys feel
the
same?
I liked it. Because you didn't have to worry about air juggling like previous games. So I thought it was better for more casual players.
I agree. Colin?
I had zero time.
All right. No commento. No commento.
Exactly.
All right. I think Tekken 4 is an easy pass. I can't really say much bad about it. It really shocked me how much changed, I think, for the better. So, easy pass.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of fighters, but I'm going to pass this.
Yeah, you can get it cheap. It's like $6. So, well worth it, I say, for that price. Okay. Last game is my pick. Here we go. Captain Quasar on, you guessed it, the 3DO. We're back, baby. In business. 3DO. Woohoo! Cyclone Studios 3DO, developed and published, came out in 1996 as a 3DO exclusive, baby. It is a science fiction third-person action game, and you are the guy, Captain Quasar. Intergalactic Rambo bullshit it needs to stop missiles from destroying stuff. And it's got a sick rap at the beginning of the game. And if you're wondering what that rap was you heard at the beginning of the podcast, that is from Captain Quasar.
That was the only good thing about the game, in my opinion.
Dude, it's got like claymation rap going on. And everything is in kind of this claymation 3D rendered environment. It's very wacky.
It was so 90s, it hurts.
What do you mean it hurts? It was so 90s. You're just like, I need to go back to the 90s. This is amazing.
If I want to go back to the 90s, I'll play Toe Jam and Earl.
No, this is better. This is way better.
Yeah, this rap is better than Toe Jam.
Thank you, Joey. You said maybe something positive over the 3DO.
The right amount of cringe.
Aw. I feel like that was...
I think Toe Jam went a little too far with the cringe. This one just had the right amount.
Okay. All right. So yeah, Captain Quasar here is basically Zap Brannigan meets Rambo, and all he knows to do is destroy shit and blow things up, and that's how he succeeds in stopping missiles from leaving the launching pads, because that's like your first three levels or whatever. This game's hard. It's very difficult. You lose health easily. Everything's in this isometric shooter style, so it's kind of difficult to line up your shots as the enemies don't have that much trouble hitting you.
You have to like move away to go back towards the enemy if you're too close to it to be able to shoot them without running into them. It's I hated the movement.
Yeah, and the camera does that wacky whip movement thing that I constantly complain about. Weirdly enough, when I found myself playing longer, I wasn't whipping as much because I got more used to the movement and lining things up. So maybe it was just a thing of you're jarred at first, and then you slowly just adapt to the new view. That's kind of my thought process. And I'm not like defending it horribly. I'm just kind of recounting my experience because it still whips, and that's terrible. Hate that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let's see. Anything interesting in development? No, not really.
I'm shocked that this game for once doesn't have FMV cutscenes. That is a rarity for the 3DO.
That is a good observation, Colin, and I appreciate that. You really brought a lot to the conversation there. It's very hard to defend 3DO games, I must admit.
The cartoony aesthetic is kind of fun, but the main Quasar saying whoa-ho-ho over and over does get annoying.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. They could have had a little bit more variety in it, especially in the level designs. It got really repetitive. I only played like an hour or two. How long is this game even? Let's see here. I'd be shocked if it's in how long to beat, actually.
Uh-huh.
Let's see here, Captain Quasar. Yeah, it's not even listed, so who knows how long this game is. Probably like 5 hours, I imagine. I played probably half, and the levels just never really got much different from each other. I mildly enjoyed my experience. I think there was a lot of potential behind this game, much like some other 3DO titles, but ultimately it fails.
I think one of my main problems was with the main character himself. I mean, I feel like his voice actor doesn't have the kind of energy that this kind of character requires to really make him entertaining. Do you want an example of that kind of thing done right? Just look at Blasto.
Oh, yeah. That is a very, very good comparison, because that's very much along the same lines as this. I think that's what I was hoping for with Captain Quasar, was a game more like a Blasto. Yeah. Holy shit, Blasto, Colin. You're right.
Blasto, the character, had Phil Hartman voicing him. And he also voiced Troy McClure on The Simpsons. You may remember him from such... Actually, I don't remember the titles of some of the shorts that he shows up in. But
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, but I can't remember the names of any of them. But yeah, Phil Hartman, that was not so fun fact. It was his last voicing role as Blasto before he was tragically taken from life by his psycho ex-wife.
Oh, shit.
That's really? Sad. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Fuck Annie Dick.
What?
Yeah.
What? Hold on. I gotta look this up now.
Yeah.
Phil Hartman. All right, hold on. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I reckon. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
Oh, he was Canadian-American.
Uh-huh, let's see. Other work. Hold the phone. Personal life. Here we go. Murder. Oh, my God. 1998, he visited an Italian restaurant. Hartman was in a good frame of mind. After returning home, Bryn had a heated argument with Phil, after which he went to bed. She entered his room sometime before 3 a.m. on May 28th, 1998, and fatally shot him once between the eyes and once in the throat and once in the upper chest with a 38 caliber handgun as he slept. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
She was high, taking Zoloft, drinking, and used cocaine. Oh, holy shit. She was in a frame of mind.
Yeah, really.
Bryn drove to the home of her friend Ron Douglas and confessed to the murder, and he initially did not believe her. Yeah, you wouldn't want to believe that either. That is crazy.
Yeah.
She called a second friend, confessed to the crime. Upon seeing Hartman's body, Douglas called 911. Police arrived and escorted Douglas and Hartman's two children from... Oh my God, they were there the whole time. I suppose, yeah.
Oh my God.
Shortly afterwards, she committed suicide via gunshot after she locked herself in the bedroom. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that took a turn.
That is fucking crazy. I never knew that.
Annie, I know,
Dick,
right?
Annie Dick was her supply of drugs, or at least some of the drugs.
Wow. That's okay. Captain Quasar led to the death and murder of Phil Hartman. Okay.
Well, Blasto did.
Well, where did we begin, Colin? Is because of Captain Quasar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jesus. Okay. So the games we played were Serious Sam, Final Fight 2, Vice Project Doom, Tekken 4, and Captain Quasar. Joey, favorite, least favorite, and your grades.
Favorite, Serious Sam. Least favorite, Captain Quasar. Serious Sam, I'm going to give an A. Final Fight 2, I'm giving a C. Vice Project Doom, giving a C. Tekken 4, giving it a B. And Captain Quasar, I'm giving it a D.
Aw. Colin, what you got?
Let's see. Favorite, Serious Sam. Least favorite, Captain Quasar, just like Joey. And for tiers, I give Serious Sam a B. Final Fight, a C, I suppose. Vice Project Doom, also a B. Captain Quasar, D. And I've got nothing for Tekken, since I didn't even touch it.
Fair enough. Okay, my favorite is, shouldn't be a surprise with how much I talked about it, Vice Project Doom as my favorite game. And my least favorite is, shouldn't be a shock either, it's Serious Sam. Serious Sam, I'll just be nice and give it a C, even though I absolutely don't like these games. Final Fight 2, I'm giving it a harsh D, because it's everything worse about the original. Vice, if it was more innovative and more of a kind of higher-end polished product, I'd lean towards an S, but I'm giving it an A. Tekken 4, also an A. And Captain Quasar, I'll give it a C, but not like that changes the overall score. So that leads to Serious Sam with a B. Final Fight 2 with a C. Vice gets a B. Tekken 4 gets... Okay, Joey.
I'll upgrade to an A. I'm okay with that.
All right. Gets an A. And Captain Quasar gets a D. You guys are so harsh on my 3DO games.
Because they suck.
Come on, they're not like the epitome of suck.
I think they are.
Can't we get like a C every now and again?
If you pick a good game, yes.
Oh, come on. Maybe one day we'll do Gex. Maybe that'll be good enough for you fuckers.
I'm waiting for you to pick something that's good.
Okay, so our next topic comes on July 4th. Joey, it is your theme pick. What is the theme called?
America. That's America. Is it America Fuck Yeah? Is that what we went with?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's America Fuck Yeah.
America Fuck Yeah.
We have to have the Team America theme for that intro.
Gotta be America. Gotta celebrate.
America. No, that'll get like super copyright, Colin. You can't use that.
Ah.
Yeah. There's like some things we can get away with tweaking, but that is definitely not one of them. All right.
Oh, that's lame.
Fun episode. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye now.